to have Dr. Bobby Robertson close us out, preach a great message this morning, and he's a link to the past, like some of these other fellows we've had in. I like to just sit and listen to them tell the stories of things of years gone by and statements that people have made, and it's a blessing just to have these kind of men around to rub shoulders with. But he's a tremendous preacher. He's got a great spirit about him. He's been in Walkertown, I think, for 58 years. Been preaching longer than that. Been pastoring one church for that long. And just a great man of God, and I'm thankful to have him. We're going to have a special. Special's already done. Just come run on up, Brother Bob.
Thank you, preacher. Lord bless you. Well, it's a joy. I want to say, like Brother Darrell, I appreciate it. You invite me. I mean that. I appreciate that. I have a lot of friends in this area, and some of you I've met. Some of you I've met three or four times. Man, every once in a while my wife will say, I say, "Hey, Brother Bobby, hey." And she'll say, "Who was that?" I said, "I don't know." And she's always getting that. She said, "Well, why didn't you ask him?" I said, "I might have asked him that last week." You know, I'm not old, but I just can't remember everybody. Amen. And I got to tell you this. I led a man to the Lord, I guess, 6-8 years ago. He came to church, and he got married afterwards. I mean, the man probably in his 50s, never been married. He got married, so he brought his wife with him. She got saved. And they came on for a year or two, and I missed them. And then about 6 months ago, he come back. And I'd been wanting to try to hunt him up. Didn't have time, but I was glad to see him in church. Well, he kept coming for maybe 2 months by himself. And I thought, well, I guess she's left him, you know, and he's back in church. So a few weeks ago, there was a woman with him. I was shaking hands, and I said, "Well, it's good to see you with him." I said, "Now, I was thinking he's got him another." She said, "Don't you know me? I've been sick for a long time. I got saved, got baptized. I'm his wife." I said, "Oh, yes." And she's the same woman. But she's not mad at me. I'm glad of that. But you get in sometimes, don't you? I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4 tonight. And I just sat back there thinking tonight. And I'm not a smart fella. I just been around a while, that's all. But I just thinking how good God is. I think it'd do us good, and I'm going to talk a little while. If I don't get into my message, then I'll just quit, you know. But anyway, what I started to say, I was thinking how wonderful when you see the Holy Spirit working. And friend, you and I need to be conscious of every move we make. If you're going to change jobs, you ought to seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's easy to ask God for something and then tell God the answer. It really is, but to wait on Him. And I was thinking about Darrell here tonight, how I came around through West Virginia. I won't go through all of that. You know, that's about 175, 200 miles from us, I guess. And I preach a lot in West Virginia. Those hillbillies like me up there. And I met Darrell, and he asked me, he was pastor of a place called Bolt, West Virginia, and asked me to come preach. And it was a little small building, and I think it's, you can only park 8 or 10 cars at that many around him. And I could tell he was gnawing at the bit, trying to do something for the Lord. And right out here beside of the platform was a horse trough, if you know what I'm talking about. You know, a metal thing like the horses drink water in. And I said, "What is that, Darrell?" And he had Joe Boyd. Some of you remember Joe Boyd and that team traveled with him? Well, he had had Joe Boyd, and they got stirred up by soul winning. And he didn't have no word to baptize people. And Joe talked him into making that trough. Now, I don't know where they changed clothes at. I never did ask him. But they didn't have any classrooms nowhere. I didn't see any. And he was winning people to the Lord and baptizing them in that trough. And I believe he may have had a van. I don't know. But you had nowhere to park. And then time went on, and the pastor over there at Trinity is about 30, 40 miles from me, and I knew him. And one day, he wanted to eat lunch with me. And he said, Brother Bobby, I feel like the Lord is leading me out into Montana to start a church. These fellows may call on you there at Trinity. A little while after that, one of the deacons called. And it's amazing now how just the Holy Spirit. This man never said one word to me about ever leaving West Virginia. He was raised there. But I knew he was wanting to do something. This church where he's at had one or two buses. And they said, Brother Bobby, do you know of anybody that you know our pastor's leaving? Anybody that you might feel Lord may be leading? And folks, just like a light, that man came to my mind. And I said, I just preached for a fella, and I told him the story. I said, I have no idea that the Lord is leading him away, but you go up there and hear him. And I told him, where he's at. Just slip in the back and hear him. I never heard him preach, but he wants to do something for the Lord. And first thing I knew, they said, we've got that man. He's coming. And he's been there for 30 years. That's and he inherited a good debt. A good debt. And I think there's a test right there that shows you if we'll do the right thing. He's one of the best soul winners in North Carolina. Runs a bus route, as you said. And I mean soul winner. I mean a worker. He's not one of them fellas that sets out and tells a man, designates how to do it. He gets out there and does it. And visits, I see him in the hospital so much. And just constantly working all the time. And winning souls. And through that, winning souls. You know what Jesus told Peter? Go out there. We got to pay our debts and catch that fish and get that coin out. And he wasn't trying to for that, but he got some fish and they helped him with a coin. And he got along fine and growed and stuck in there. I will say this, if you're here tonight, I can't remember how many years, but one day he called me and he said, Brother Bobby, it gets awful tiresome. He said, we have to count our offerings. Sunday night after the church, we put it all together and count it, and we look at the bills this place has got, and then we figure out what we can pay. He said, this gets tiresome. It's every week, and that's several years afterwards. And then I have to call on Monday and say, I'm sorry, we can't pay you. We'll try to get you next time. And it went on. Now, he didn't say anything about leaving, but I said, Darrell, you got to stick in there. Because who would go? Just get stick in there. He didn't say anything about leaving. He did. Now, if you go there, they built building after building, 15 or 20 acres of land, buses all around over the place, and a great soul-winning church. And God done it through that. And I thought about Terry. Terry is, I guess Larry Brown was his pastor. Larry came to our place to go to Bible college there in Western Salem. We're 8 miles out there in the country from Western Salem. A little Bible college, and I didn't know him. His family moved there. They come to Gospel Light and joined. And I'm not proud of it, but I've never been trained. And I'm the second pastor of that church. I was born 3 miles from there. My home church is 3 miles from there. And there's a young man about 21 years old, in 1948 or 49, that said was about 3 or 4 miles up the road, put a gospel tent up near what we call Walkertown, where I'm at now. And I was close to Kernersville, a little town 4 or 5 miles apart. Anyway, he seemed like he was there a month or so, and then I heard he's starting a church. And the man gave him a little 3/4 of an acre of land, and he built a little block building. And I still hadn't met him, and then I heard he had Harold Seitler in revival, and I went over there to hear him. Then he had Mays Jackson. I went over there to hear Mays. And I got acquainted with him. He was there for 7 years, had a good ministry from just scratch. They had 200 members. And then he went into evangelism, moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. I had been called, and I'm not going into all that. But I was pastoring. I was working about 10 hours a day and pastored a little church about 12, 14 miles from home. And I had to work late at night. And one night, about 8 o'clock in the summertime, I'd heard Brother Long had left them. And I was eating supper. Just got home from But down our way, it's supper, it's not dinner. You eat dinner at noon and supper at night. And anyway, I was eating supper, and my wife said there was some men from this Gospel Light Baptist Church that was here and said it was coming back. And she got just through telling me, and I heard a horn blow. And I got up and went to the front door. And some man said, "How about coming out of here a minute?" The little 52 Chevrolet said, and I walked out the yard there, and he said, "You know us, we're from Gospel Light Baptist Church." I said, "I think I've seen you there." And he said, "I know you've been there a few times. You preached one time for Brother Long." He said, "You know he's leaving us." I said, "I heard about that, going into evangelism." This is what they said. They said, "We've been praying. We've been around listening to people. But we believe the Holy Ghost of God is leading for you to be our preacher." Well, I said, "I appreciate that, fellas, but I've only been down here where I'm at, over in the country for a year, and I don't believe God wants me to leave." One of them said, "We don't expect you to answer us. We just want you to start praying. We'll talk to you later," and drove off. You don't hear much of that anymore. It's your resumes, and I'm not against them, but it's your resumes. And I was pastor there several years before I thought about what they said. They didn't even ask if I could read or write. They said, "We're seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit." You see. And I won't tell you, but it was 2 months or so, and I couldn't leave. Man, I'd go to that little church, and Sunday I'd tell my wife, "I just can't leave here." And she said, "I don't see how you could either." But anyway, after a long time, God showed me that's what I'm supposed to do. And that was the first Sunday in July in 1956 that I came there. God's been so good through the years. So good. He's just wonderful. And I praise Him. Now, what I was going to tell you right quick, about to forget what it was. God blessed and blessed and blessed. In about 4 or 5 years, we was running 500 and 600. And our little building wouldn't see them. I preached with chairs in the aisle prayer meeting night for a long time. And it had 3/4 of an acre of land. And it already started a cemetery on part of it. And he had 2 people buried right behind there. And we had some little Johnnies, if you don't know what that is, outside toilets, out there the other side. And we needed to do something. We was trying to buy land, couldn't get any land. And so we got permission to move those 2 graves back. And we took half of that little cemetery, moved them back there and left that as a cemetery. And then we built on. I remember very well some of our men built it. Cost us $11,000. And we had 18 rooms on the back of that building. And God kept blessing. And kept blessing. And we moved. But now this is what I started to tell you. Moved up the road a little ways. And God kept blessing. And we were running, averaging 700 and 800. We had no bus ministry then. I didn't have an assistant pastor. I didn't have a secretary. And was over there in the country. Now, it's grown up now. But, I mean, you can see 2 houses from the church. And I can't type. I begin to get letters and trying to write with my left hand, you know. Don't many people know this, but there's a little old business college there in Winston-Salem at night. And I went over there and 2 or 3 or 4 weeks to try to learn how to type. I was going, and it wouldn't work, and I quit. I said, "Just some way don't work for me." And I got along by as good then, no assistant, no, you know, just going all the time. And anyway, somebody come by and said, "You need a secretary or assistant pastor." I said, "I know it, but I said if I get a secretary." And she stays here in this building by herself, she's going to get scared over here daytime. And if I come to the church and stay a little while, they're going to start a bad tale on me and the secretary. And I said, "I don't know what to do." And Larry came. And he was going to college. I said, "Now, boy, I'll get that old boy. He looks like he's a country boy. And I'll let him be my assistant and write some letters." He wrote 1 letter. That's the biggest mess. He could punched out. He knows it, and you know. And so I had the joy of leading my first cousin to Christ, her and her husband, and she became my first secretary. And Larry was my assistant pastor for 7.5 years. And my first cousin, after 9 years or so, she moved, and my youngest daughter was graduating from high school. And she brushed up on her shorthand and so on a little college. And my youngest daughter's been my secretary for 35 years, I guess, now. Fine. But that's just what I want to tell you. And I didn't mean to go into all that, but I just want to tell you about this. And Larry came to me after about 7 years. And he said, "Preacher, I want you to help me pray. I believe God wants me to pastor." And it was going on like that sometime. Wally Beebe, we're known as Mr. Buss, he was in Iowa somewhere preaching. And there were some people wanting, it wasn't a split or anything out of a church, but they wanted an independent Baptist church so bad. And the Presbyterians had moved out of their building and built a modern design outside of that little town of Washington. And there was some of those farmers that went in together and bought that Marion Avenue Church building and told Wally Beebe and said, "If you know of anybody that just come and start the church, we'd appreciate it." And Wally said Larry had talked to him. You know, when you put all these things together, isn't it amazing? And Larry's come to me and told me what Wally said. And I married him and Diane. His wife went to heaven a few years ago. He's remarried. But she's out of our church, too. And he'd go out there and preach, and he liked it. But he said, "What if I can't do it?" You know Larry. He's nervous as a man. He just, you know. And he wanted to go, but he was afraid to go. And he wanted to go, and he's afraid to go. And he lived on like that. And I knew how to work with him. I said, "Now listen, Larry. I'll tell you what I'll do if it'll help you. I'll keep your place open for 6 months here. If it don't work, come on back to work." He said, "Boy, that releases a pressure, preacher." And he stayed 35, 40 years, didn't he? And then he became his assistant pastor. And that's where I met Terry, just a young fellow out there. And I thought then how you folks had called him here. I don't know why I went in, but I was reliving all that back there. Isn't it amazing when you see how the Holy Spirit works? It really is. You've got a good pastor here. And you back him up. You stand. He may do some things. You may wonder, what's wrong? He may get up here and ask you to vote to buy an elephant. You can't tell. You just pray for him and stand up. God will give him wisdom. He'll get out of it. And he'll go on. But he loves the Lord. He believes in old-time religion. And you stand with him. And then I appreciate Dennis Corle. I haven't known Dennis that long. But I appreciate him as his stand, revival fires. And boy, I tell you, a few weeks ago, you had an unusual good-looking preacher in that thing. Yeah, you did. Had my picture in there. But I will say I appreciate. But I just thought how the Holy Spirit leads about those things. And let me say, Darrell, he came out of West Virginia. And he came down there. And we had a fellow, one of our men led him to Christ, a businessman. He's in his 50s, Lee Howard. And I was on the board of Trinity Baptist College at that time down in Jacksonville, Florida. And I got him to go down there with me. I go down there once a year, I believe it was. I'm trying to think of that man had that suit outfit down there anyway. Tatum's suit place. And he had some seconds over there. And he'd let missionaries and us preachers, when we go down there, go in there and you get a pretty good suit for $25. If it was not one time, boy, I had me a nice and all fixed up. And I get in there, there's a bunch of men, I thought, and the whole back end of it was out. Some of them told me, you know. So I decided not to get that button. But anyway, he got to go with me down there. And old Lee Howard, that millionaire, said, "You know, I believe that fellow needs some clothes, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." And he bought him suits and stuff like that. And he's talking about God taking care of him. And then one day old Lee said to me, he's 85 now, he's still in church, and Lee said, "You know, I like that boy, preacher, he's really trying." He said, "What do you think? I'm going to ask your advice." He said, I'd like to give him a little money. What do you think about me giving him $10,000? I said, "I think you ought to." And men like that, and it's amazing if we just follow God, and this man follows the Lord. and all that. Now I want to talk to you about Peter here. Notice a few verses right here. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you just to notice here with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice here he's talked about what Jesus has done for us in the third chapter. Then verse 1, he said, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh," now he said, "arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquets, and abominable idolatries. Notice now, we walked that away, but we're not anymore. Now look, verse 4. "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right speaking evil of you." Now when you leave that kind of life, he said, they think it's strange. They speak evil. But then he said, "I'm going to give an account," verse 5, "who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." Now, I want to talk to you. My text is in that second verse there. Notice what he said, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, I want to talk to you a little while tonight on the rest of our time. Let's make it count right. The rest of our time. That's what I'm talking about. Now, he mentions in his third verse, it's not like the world. They won't understand if we live it like God says. Number one, if you'll notice, he mentioned the will of God. My friend, God has a will for your life and my life. And that's very important, to always seek the will of God. One of my favorite verses in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, I believe it's verse 18. Listen, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, God says understanding. And I believe if God says we can understand it, we can. And I don't care what kind of business, where you're a pastor, evangelist, or where you work in a factory or whatever, we need to constantly seek God's will for our life. That's very, very important, you see, is God's will for our life. And so we need to work on that thing. You remember what he said in Romans chapter 12? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord." And he said, when you do, this is only a reasonable service. And notice, "and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what that good and perfect and acceptable will of God is." I'm saying this to Bobby Robinson, all of us. We need to be open, and God looks at our heart, and be willing to do His will. Now, His will's not always a good-looking way. You think of Joseph. You could have said he's out of the will of God, but he was in the will of God through the whole thing, you see. And so we need to think about that. And we need to seek willingly God's will all the time. I remember old Ed McDarius. Ed's probably with the Lord now. He's about 90 years old, old-fashioned preacher from North Carolina. And he come through one day and some few years ago. And we had a meal, my wife and I and him and his wife. And we was talking about, you know, trying to find the will of God and the will of God. And she said to me, she said, and Ed's a great man. She said, "Brother Bobby, Ed used to say, well, I believe the Lord's leading me here today. And in about a week, well, I believe the Lord's leading me here. And then another, I believe the Lord." And said, I told him one day, "Ed, if you don't quit changing God's mind, he's going to get mad at you." I'm afraid a lot of these things are ours and not the will of God. Now, that's bad. And I'm not saying now because I've been gospelite forever that it's God's will for man. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, let's be very careful. I'm thinking of a man named Paul Cius. Paul, Darrell knows him. a good man. Pastor's about 30 miles from me, the opposite way from him. It's been 15 years probably ago, at least. He called me one day. I get calls like that, I think, because I'm old. I don't know. But he said, Brother Bobby, that's what he said. Do you know of a good church somewhere that wants to do something for God? He said, I've been here. He told me how many years, 10, 12, whatever. And he said, I've got two deacons that is, he said, there are battles all the time. And he said, I just feel like that God don't want me to have to keep battling these fellas all the time. And I believe he wants me to leave. Well, I'm not smart, but I was thinking. I said, let me ask you, Paul. I said, do you reckon them two deacons are leading you away or God's leading you away? And he said, well, you might have something there, Brother Bobby. And I said, now I'll tell you what you pray, and I'm going to pray. And let's pray a while over that thing. About 6 months later, he called me and he said, praise God, them fellas are gone. And if that man has thanked me one time, he's thanked me 10 times every time I see him. Thank you for what you said. I like to miss God's will. Now, folks, we better watch about that. I was preaching for Paul Chapel in California about two or three years ago. As a man walked up to me, if he was here tonight, I wouldn't know it, after service. He said, Brother Robertson, pray for me. I'm out of the will of God, and I'm miserable. He said, I was pastoring in Maryland, and he said, different folks said, boy, you ought to go out to California. I mean, that weather and all of that, you ought to go out to California. And he said, I found out there's a church out here that needs a pastor, and he said, I've been here for three months. And he said, it's a good church. Right over there's my wife and three children. I felt so sorry for that fella. He said, it's a good church, but I'm out of the will of God. That's what he said, I'm out of the will of God. He said, I thought that it'd be nice to come to California, but I followed the flesh instead of the will of God. And I said, well, brother, why don't you just eat some crow and call them and tell them that you're sorry, you missed the will. He said, they've already got another pastor. And I feel sorry for that man. I really did. But I've seen that happen so much of the time. And I'm just saying, folks, that we need the rest of our life seek to walk in the will of the Lord. I was talking to Darrell, one of my preacher friends, very close. In fact, I had the joy of helping in his ordination service 38, 40 years ago. And he retired from his church about 4 or 5 years ago. And he told me a while back, I don't know how old he is, 65, 70, 80, something along that. But he told me a while back, he said, Brother Bobby, he said, if I hadn't had that Christian school, I wouldn't have retired, but that thing is about to run me crazy. I had another fellow call me the other day. He said, if you know of a church that needs a pastor, he pastored for years. He said, I'm preaching all the time, but I believe I ought to be a pastor. I think faithful folks like that. I think of Arthur Blackburn, and I was telling some of the fellows about him today. You wouldn't know him, one of the greatest preachers in North Carolina. And I was a young preacher, and I got to asking some of these older fellows. One day I was eating lunch with him, and he had suffered a stroke or two. He pastored, great preacher. Pastor a lot of churches, part of the time in evangelism. And I said, Arthur, you're an older man. I'm giving some good advice. And just in a broken voice, we were sitting over eating the KNW restaurant. He said, Brother Bobby, there's one church and one woman for you. I said, where'd you miss it? And you know what he said? In 1956, Landis Baptist Church in Landis, North Carolina, he said, I was pastor of that church. He said, I got to having so many calls for revivals. I was in meetings all the time. I thought God wanted me to be an evangelist. He didn't. And I resigned. And I missed God's will. Now, he pastored other churches. That shook me up. I was thinking of another preacher in Kannapolis, North Carolina. He's with the Lord now. I said, could you give me some advice? And he said, I started the Lane Street Baptist Church with our 14 years. And he said, I could see some troubles really coming in that place. And I heard about another church, and I put my name in, and I left it to get out of those troubles. And I missed the will. I'm talking about great men that God still used them until they died. Greater men of God than I'll ever be. But I'm just saying, my friends, since those things, I have tried to be conscious to make sure it's the will of God. You see. You know, a man, a pastor, he may feel led of God at 60 years old or 50 years old or 65 years old to quit pastoring, going into band. That may be God's will for his life. But if we're not careful, we'll begin to get in a groove like everybody else, you see. I have a boy, a preacher, and he talks about, well, I just want to do so many years and then do. I said, how do you know about that? And he's watched other men. Now listen, God has a place for Bobby Robertson. He has a place for you. He has a place for all of us. And I'm not trying to set any examples or anything. I just want to follow God. And I've had some battles, and there's one after another. But I still know as of tonight, I don't know how long I'll pastor Gospel Light Baptist Church, but I have no leadership of resigning now and going, resigning and doing all that. As far as I know, I'll be there till Jesus comes. I don't know. He's touched me. I've had cancer twice. Had a heart attack 52 years ago. And I feel good. And I'm only 82 now. And I feel good. I've never enjoyed preaching in my own pulpit like I do now. I'm honest about the thing. And revive God's leadership has never been any sweeter to me than it is right now. I start praying, God, what should I preach? And all at once the verse comes to my mind, and I get that verse and get all tied up. I never have been much of a preacher, just a little country preacher, but I like to preach when God comes, my friend. That's what I'm talking about. And I cut up with them my whole life. People say, how long are you going to pastor there? I said, if Jesus tarries his coming and he lets me live, I plan to pastor till I'm 100, then I'm going in evangelism the rest of my life. We don't know about those things. But I'm just saying, the rest of my time, if it's to resign next Sunday to be in God's will, I want to do it. I want to do it. I believe it's very important that we, if we know that we ought to be in the will and we're not, I don't believe we can be blessed. I remember years ago I was attending a conference at Highland Park. And there was a preacher. He's probably dead now. He's older than me. But he made this statement. I was just sitting back there listening. He said, if you know that you're not in the will of God, you know it and you're not willing to do something about it, he said, you're a target for the devil. I never have forgot that. And he may have something right there, you see. We need to work at the will of God all the time in our lives. That's what I'm trying to say. Then I want to say, secondly, the rest of my time, I want to stay in the work of the Lord. In the work. You know what he said in 1 Corinthians 15:58? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Aren't you glad God placed you in the work of the Lord? I mean, the work of the Lord's winning souls. Man, what a time. Winning people to Christ. The other night, we had something at our church. What was it? I don't know what. But anyway, we had several preachers there. And one of my old boys, he reached up and he said, praise God, in his back. I remember I led him to Christ. He said, 53 years ago, I got in here at Gospel Light. And he'd been pastoring 25 or 30 years, about 20 miles from me. I had the joy of knocking on his door. He lived down there. They called it Dry Holler. And the reason he got Dry Holler is so much bootlegging. And I led his daddy to the Lord. That old house he lived in, you could throw the cat through it almost. And that old man Smith said, I told him, I said, I'm down here trying to keep people out of hell. I pastor up yonder 15 miles away. Are you saved? And he said, I don't know what I am, but I can't read nor write. I said, you don't have to read and write. I read the old man to Christ. And then his boy got saved. And then another boy got saved. That boy's in the ministry now. And every time I see him, he said, thank you, Brother Bobby. You led me to Christ. Bless God, that's work, my friend. That's what I'm talking about. That's worth something. And let's stay in the work of God. Stay in the work of God. Long God gives you health and strength, you keep at it. Just stay in there. I don't have time for lazy people. We got some in our place. They're so lazy. Why, they wouldn't even work in the tasting department in a pie factory. That's about the truth. That's right. They're just looking for position all the time. I was trying to keep a couple together a few years ago. It's not funny. But there's about to set, and it did separate. And I said, now listen, I was there with him. And his wife said, you don't understand this thing, preacher. She said, everything, and we ought to have some plenty, but she said, everything we do, he's got to sit down with a paper and plan it and plan it. She said, I'd mow our yard while he's trying to figure out how you ought to do it. And I know a lot of fellas. I mean, listen, when I started, we didn't know how to do it, but just doing it anyhow. And man, we've got so many people who know how, who know how, who know how. We've got some good colleges. They're fully going to do this and do that. But we got churches, little old churches all over North Carolina where the preacher got disgusted and he left and it's a split. Now the son called me and said, Brother Bobby, do you know a good church somewhere? One wants to do something. I said, I don't know if one wants to do a thing. I don't. We're all flesh. I said, but God wants me and you to get in there and get filled with the Holy Spirit of God and lead the people and beg and plead and pray and ask God to send down His power and do something, my friend. I'm just saying, let's stay in the work of God. Just stay in the work of God. And then let me say, I can say more than that, but let's stay in the worshiping of God. You remember over there in John chapter, I could give you several scriptures, but you remember John chapter 4 when Jesus won that woman? She had religion. She said, now I know that you Jews worship in Jerusalem, but we Samaritans, we worship over there in the mountain. Jesus said, let me tell you something, woman. It's not in Jerusalem nor in the mountain, but God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not many people know what old-time religion is. I'm talking about when we get off the throne and get down before God and recognize what He is. I mean, get to worship Him. That's what I'm talking about. And so many scriptures there about it. While old Abraham, he's going to offer up Isaac. God done told him through his seed that God the Messiah was coming, of course. But he believed God. And you remember what his boy said? We've got the wood, we've got the fire, where's the lamb? God provided Himself a lamb. He told His servants, you sit here while I and the lad go yonder and worship. My friend, worship is not just going to church. Worship is seeing how great God is and how sorry we are. That's what I'm talking about. There was an old gentleman at Kerwin Church when I got saved, an old-fashioned Grover McGee. He loved God. He got saved plowing corn, he said one day. And I remember one Sunday evening, I went to his house. And he was, that was back yonder way before television was. And I got out of my car, and there was a couple of windows here. And then you go around and open the door, the door, front door there. And I got out of my car here to the side of the house. And just to start to hear somebody say, hey, man, bless God. And I stepped back. And I stood and I could see him. He was in a room by himself. Had this little small radio. And he didn't know anybody's around. He said, that's right. Bless His holy name. He was having a hallelujah time. He was worshiping the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to say. Let's just worship Him. Don't you get carried away with a bunch of this contemporary junk. Don't you do that. That's flesh. God don't have several ways to worship Him. God don't have a way of the young people worshiping and the old people worshiping. God don't have it. We got a church about 5 miles from us, Independent Baptist Church. And the pastor, sweet man, he's a teacher in an Independent Baptist college and pastors that church. And he's got out on his board out here, contemporary worship, 8:45, traditional worship, 11 o'clock. Forget about the Sunday night thing. Come as you are. That's what I'm trying to say. We're not legalists. Come as you are. I expect in the last 3 years I've lost 150 members that like that excitement. I've got some now. Preacher, don't you think? I said, no, we don't. No, we don't. No, don't you let that old music get in this place. No, I said, no, we still stand for the Word of God. My friend, let me tell you, this: if Jesus Christ don't come back, the next generation will never respect the house of God. They'll never do it. One of our ladies said, the pastor met with us, preacher, and said he told us, said he meets with you before you join. And she's telling me that, and she said he told us, said, now listen, we're not legalists here, and we'll not tell you how to worship. I mean, how to dress. Said, if you ladies want to come in your pants, you're fine. And he said, even in the summertime, if you want to wear your Bermuda shorts, that's your business. But said, I would appreciate if you wouldn't wear your shortest shorts. And I said, ma'am, he's a legalist. He just told you how to dress. Let me tell you, I've got people, they love me. I meet them out somewhere. I'm glad I got to know. They said, he's all right, but he's living in a different day. No, I am in a different day. But I've got the same Bible, the same God, the same Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Preachers, don't get carried away and say, well, they can get the crowd. Yeah, the world can get the crowd. But you're not after the crowd. You're after to please God. I pastor a fairly good-sized church. I didn't know it was going to grow like it does. But I may have to preach to empty pews someday. And by the grace of God, don't get your mind on crowds. Get your mind on souls and winning souls to Christ and helping people the right way. I'm just saying the rest of the time, let's seek the will of God. And then let's seek, of course, in the work of God, and then let's worship God. Let's worship God. And then I'm going to close with this thought. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. You remember what he said in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Stay in this blessed old book right here is food. Man cannot live by bread alone. Now you can't live by your computers and your Facebook, your gossip book, and all that stuff. Just take time to get along with this book every day. Every day. It'll meet our needs. It'll feed our soul. My mother's mother was an old fashioned Methodist. She used to tell me, I'd go to see her, you know, she lived to be 96, and she was a widow for years. And she'd say, now, don't you make fun of me, Bobby. She said, you know, the old Methodist talked about the second blessing. And she said, I believe you've had the second blessing. I used to go see Grandma, and if you want to get blessed, just go always. She had a Bible laying open on an old big kitchen table. I'd go, Granny, how you doing? Oh, Bobby, God is so good. And she told me one time, she said, you know, she said, I got to feeling sorry for myself. The old pipes were freezing and stuff like that, you know, and need to be thawed out. And I just thought, I don't have no help here and all that. And said, the Lord said, well, what do you think about Job? You got any troubles like him? And Granny said this, just like you and I'd say, I'd read a chapter. And she said, you know, Bobby, I read the book of Job that night. And God come down. And it was shed upstairs. That old, you could live in there for 6 months, the old house. And she wouldn't know nobody there. And she said, "Son, when I come to myself, I was upstairs having me a hallelujah time." Said, "God came." She knew what it was to get her food from the Word of God, my friend. Oh, listen. When she'd get to singing those old hymns, you know, the 99, that was her favorite one. And she'd think about that 99, and he left that and went out. "Chunny, you better look out. Man, he's coming loose." She starts crying, and the first thing you know, boy, here she goes. Old-fashioned, that's what I'm talking about. People don't know what real old-fashioned, old-time Holy Ghost work of God is today. But we need to stand for it, my. There's something real, that's what I'm trying to say. Stick by the old book. Stick by the Word of God. It's food for your soul, my friend. It's a light unto our pathway. A lamp to our feet. A light to our pathway. It'll hide it away in our heart. It'll keep us from sin. And then if we love it, we won't be getting mad at everybody. He says in Psalm 119, verse 65, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And stay in the book. I just talked about some things we ought to do the rest of our life. If you don't have this, make a time that you read your Bible in your home. You do that. My old-fashioned daddy, when he was 14 years old, he had rheumatic fever. Grandma said that it affected his heart, and said he don't let him get out and scuffle with other kids because he might fall over dead. Now, that's been many years ago. My daddy lived till he was 39. Back in those days, there wasn't nobody that didn't work a public job much, maybe the first church downtown. And Daddy, I remember our Sunday school run 220, 230, 250 every Sunday. Daddy worked 5.5 days a week, pastored that church. But he always had time for the Bible. Three of us boys, he said, "Come in here a minute, boys. Sit down in the living room." He'd get that old big Bible. I'd never seen a Schofield Bible back. The old big thick Bible. And he'd read. He said, "Now God's been good to us, boys. Now let's talk to Him." And he dropped dead at 39 years old. He preached on Sunday and on his job the next morning at 10:30. He dropped dead at 39 years old. He's been in heaven 70 years. Old-fashioned Baptist preacher. But listen, I've never forgot the time that he'd have us boys, three boys. I was 12, my oldest brother was 13, my youngest was 9. I had the sweetest old mother. Oh, bless her heart. She was a widow, 47 years. Lived for God. Set the right example and all that. But this is what I started to say. I never forget, and I still haven't forgotten, when Daddy used to read the Bible and get on his knees and pray. And if we had homes like that today, we'd have a difference in them. This book, it just does something. So I'm saying you stick with the blessed old Word of God all the time. Live in it. Get your soul saturated in it. Eat from it. Enjoy it. And in all the troubles and trials, as he mentioned tonight in the storm, it'll bring you through. I'm going to see my old dad one day and mother too. I was in the rest home visiting him about 2 months ago. We've got members in 21 rest homes. And I was doing some visiting. I go around when I can to see him, assistant pastor, and then we have people at church visit them all. Anyway, I was in one of the rooms where my members were there. Somebody told me, he said, there's two people in one room. And somebody told me, he said, there's an old lady way up in her 90s, said, your dad used to be her pastor. So I went to that room to see my member. I'm there, and she said, this old lady is over in the other bed. She said, "Are you Bobby Robinson?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." "Lord, son, I'm 98 years old, and your daddy led me to the Lord when I was 14 and baptized me over yonder in some old pond somewhere."
You can't beat just making your life count for Christ. I'd love to have a daddy to help me, to tell me a lot of things. I have his picture there. And I talk to that picture sometime, but I don't see it. I was over there the other day where he and my mother's been in heaven 22 years now. And I was over there at the grave getting some flowers. And just the Lord and me was there. And I got to thinking about the rapture. I got to looking at the tombstone. And I got to quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I was begging the Lord. I looked up to him. I said, Jesus, step out up there, will you? Blow that trumpet. Hear that shout. And I said, here come forth brand new bodies. We'll be caught up together. We'll just shake hands with love, and we'll see you up there. And that's true. It's going to happen. Make your time count for the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your presence tonight, your goodness. And help me to practice what I've talked about tonight. And Lord, there may be somebody here tonight who's not saved. Lord, we know it's God's will to save them. It's not your will anybody perish, but all come to repentance. And I pray tonight that they'd let this be the time that they get saved. With our heads bowed, I want to ask you another question right quick. Two questions and I'll close. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. You say, Brother Bobby, if I died between now and home, I don't know it. I'd go to heaven. Were you a member of church, were you not, that don't make any difference. I'm not coming to you. But I'm concerned. Please pray for me. Raise your hand up and put it down. I'll know what you mean. You'll just say and pray for me. I'm concerned. Anyone here tonight, anywhere? Anywhere? Now I want to ask one more question. I wonder if you're here tonight. Don't be ashamed. You say, preacher, I don't believe I'm in the will of God. I'm saved, but I don't believe I'm in the will of God. And I want you to help me pray that I'll get in His will. Anybody like that, I'd like to help you pray about it. Raise your hand if it is. I'm saved, but I don't know that I'm in the will of God. And I want you to pray for me. Anyone, anywhere, do I see a hand? Father, I trust every one of us are seeking every day your will and stay in your word. Now I pray that you continue to bless every home that's represented tonight. Bless and keep your hand on this good pastor, this church. And Lord, let it be a lighthouse in this community that people may know that the Lord's real. And that these people love them. And may it be a soul winning station. Bless Brother Dennis, Lord. Keep your hand upon him as he goes from place to place. And may Jesus be glorified through our lives every day. We ask in his name.